This thumbs up means we're recording?
Yep. We're on.
What's up? Hey, guys. I actually have to leave in 1 minute, so. But are you guys okay? Is this the standard volume of a coffee maker?
I've never been here when the coffee has been made. I don't like to know how the coffee is made.
Like, the sound is so loud. It's not bothering me. Like, when Zelda's car is in reverse, that sound.
Yeah, I love that sound.
That sound drives heavenly. No, it is like it's fake heavenly. That's what gets me.
Right, it's electronic.
Like, I see the devil.
It's AI doing.
It is that heavenly sound.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like when angels are descending
right.
from the clouds or whatever, it makes that sound, but it really gets me. It makes my nuts come inside my body. But this coffee machine is just very loud. Is this interesting? How loud a coffee... Should we open up on interesting stuff? Like, how loud a coffee machine is? Don't give me that look, DB.
Interesting enough.
Don't give me that look, DB. Your beard's mad long. What's the plan?
I just gotta...
You gotta?
I'm gonna be doing it this week.
Oh, not gonna let it ride?
No.
Let it ride.
Let it ride, dude.
Or do you just...
It becomes
mustache.
Too much to maintain when it gets really long.
There's less to do. I thought it was grow.
I guess you should do it before No Shave October.
Is that what it is?
No Shave November.
Oh, but also Movember, where you do a mustache?
And also No Nut November. Big month. And it's also my birthday.
Confusing.
Well, I think, no, the mustache and the no shave makes sense because on Halloween...
You're not shaving your mustache?
On Halloween, you shave everything but the mustache.
Oh.
Or...
Oh, Movember, you don't have the mustache the whole time. It's just like...
Wait, what?
I don't...
You are on the end of October...
Holy moly.
You leave your mustache and shave off your beard...
Yeah.
And then the rest of the month, you let your beard and mustache grow. But since your mustache is already there, it's going to be pronounced.
At that, right. All right.
And then no nutting. While you got the sick mustache.
Everyone can tell you're no nutting.
Yeah. Because you got a mustache. And you're like, there's cum leaking out of your mustache.
No.
Ew. Dude, what are we even doing here?
Why do they do that?
Do what?
No. I don't really want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it. Which is so fucked. I watched American Sniper. I thought you were saying that was the best Army movie ever.
No, I haven't. I don't think I've seen
it. What's the best Army movie ever you were talking about with someone? I swore it was that.
I mean, best Army movie ever, I don't know, but I watched Platoon recently.
No, don't comment one thing about Platoon, please.
Okay, I'm just saying, that's the Army movie. Oh, I watched Black Hawk Down.
Is that really, really good?
It's really good. I don't know about really, really good, but there's like a million people in it, like before they were famous.
Josh Hartnett?
Well, Josh Hartnett was like famous at the time. He's like the
lead.
But
now he's not famous.
But then it's right. But then
I saw that in theaters.
Oh, he was just in that Black Mirror episode.
Like Tom Hardy is in like a scene, and like Orlando Bloom. They're like they have like barely any lines, but they're like all in. It's like a who's who of like hot boys.
Orlando Bloom sounds like a black guy's name.
I can see it, but what, he's English?
Must be.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
I think. Maybe even half Australian.
Right.
Which would make... I mean, aren't all Australians half English?
I guess that gives us something to think about. Leave a comment if you know about half English Australians.
What was that about up front?
Yeah, what was going on?
They were just
there?
Looking for probably an outdated coil at this point.
Oh. They were like, what? I can't hear you over the coffee machine. Boys, should we start the ep or?
Yeah, let's...
Enough of a cold open?
Give us...
Were you proud of this cold open?
I'm proud.
Always.
What's like the secret to
but
success
I'm a proudful
cold
guy.
Open? You're a proudful guy, yeah.
Yeah.
You're a proud boy.
You could say that.
Would you say you're a proud girl or if you
no,
had
I'm
to
just,
say...
No, you could say I'm a proud... I just mean I identify with the deadly sin of pride.
Of pride.
What's your deadly sin?
I don't... A lot of them.
Well,
but I don't know if I fully understand... Like the Ten Commandments and the... maybe we do that as a segment. Go over the Ten Commandments and the deadly sins. Because I feel like not all of them, deserve...
Right.
Like, most of them aren't on the level of don't murder. Time. Like, yeah. On your parents is equal to don't murder?
I think that's close.
Every time I tell my mom to shut up, I might as well kill someone.
Well,
there'd
no,
be a lot of dead people. A lot.
You know, when I think about the Ten Commandments, I think about, like, how bad society was at the time that, like, these rules had to be instated. Like, was everyone just going around being super disrespectful to their parents at the time?
I mean, probably less so than now.
Right. Also, I feel like the commandments were made for, like, the rich people to come up, you know? Like, most laws are for poor people, you know? So the rich can control them. And it was probably the same back then. Wake up, sheeple. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the... Bad Boys Wrestling Podcast. Amen. Who am I here with today?
I'm DB.
Who?
And it's me, Sammy.
Huh? And it's me, Mickey. That was fun. All right, back into it. I just lost everything. Where'd my notes go?
You did that fun Jewish prayer welcome.
Oh, yeah, Jewish prayer welcome. Oh, no offense, DB.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to temple plenty of times.
Hell yeah.
We give thanks to DB.
You were
for
so
podcast.
Not invited to my bar mitzvah, dude.
I don't think I was.
No, we didn't know each other.
I was there.
Oh, right, right. We met.
Well, Jake had must have Jake been was after. Invited, yeah. And he had a plus one, and I went with him.
No, Jake wasn't invited to my bar mitzvah.
But you guys were best boys.
Wait
in
a minute.
Show.
No, we didn't know
Are
each
you
other.
Sure I w-
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
My bar mitzvah was when I was in.
When you were like, 13, 12 to 13, right?
Yeah, 13. I was in eighth grade or something. We
right, but that's
other.
When we met. We met that summer.
The summer after.
Okay.
Same
as, oh, yeah, your birthday's
same
in
Same
as May.
Running a man by the time you met him.
That's why he was able just to slap a 20 down in front of me and be like, why don't you buy the book, kid?
Well, that is why I started going to the comic book store.
Because you had cash
because
flow?
Because I had the money. Yeah, I always loved comics as a kid. My, you know, whatever action, it was mostly action figures, cartoons. But, like, I had a stack of comics from when I, you know, from 5 to 13. But, like, a stack, you know, that I just accumulated over the years. But then I got that bar mitzvah cash.
You got to spend that cash?
I mean, not all 100,000 of it, but like I got like $1,500 or something, and
you
I
were
went
liquid,
to the comic
bro.
Book store. Yeah, yeah.
You were liquid.
I mean, I also didn't spend it all, but I did go to the comic book store. Like within, I was like, oh, like let me fool around a little bit, and that was when I started really hardcore collecting. Anyway, yeah, you weren't invited to my bar mitzvah.
That's all right.
We went so to my bar mitzvah was on
Halloween,
September 15th, 2001.
And big turnout?
No, sorry. Huh. Well, it was also meant to be, I think, 15. It was whatever the Saturday
it
after
was New
the
York
11th
City
was.
Themed?
It was in New York City on a boat.
Oh, yeah.
Around the city,
right.
but the harbor was shut down, so we couldn't do it. There like, you know, 4 days before my bar mitzvah.
So you guys just played in the subway tracks.
We just went to like a restaurant with like close friends and family. It was
dessert.
You know, I mean, like Sticks was there, mm-hmm. T Lapes was there.
Mm-hmm. Me and Jake were there.
You and Jake were not there.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because I didn't know you.
The Bad Boys you. Universe is not going to know your kit joshing around.
Well, Josh was there.
What? Fake Mad Dog was there?
So I've known Sammy longer, I guess.
No, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
Definitely.
Right.
For the Bad Boys Universe, the story's good, and I'll make it brief, but I stumbled into the comic book shop that summer... And Sammy approached my friend and I and told us to buy Ultimate Spider-Man, the first volume, which just came out. It was a whole reboot of the Marvel Universe. I didn't have any money, and Sammy gave me $20 and was like, buy the book, like, here's $20. And he was just a random kid, and I thought that that was really nice of him. And I was like, look, dude, I'm not taking your money. I don't know you, but I promise I will come back and buy the book. And I did. And that got me back into comics.
Oh, wait, why didn't you buy it then and there?
Because I didn't have money. But I
didn't want to take the.
I didn't want to take some random money.
Take the money.
Yeah,
I mean, it is sort of, in retrospect, like a child. I mean, you were also a child, so it's not like that weird.
But money from
you shouldn't take money from.
Yeah, but
obviously expectations.
It was so.
And what were you wearing?
Probably a punk T-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah, with the belly cut out.
Probably my Green Day shirt, my Green Day Kerplunk shirt, which was a famous one, or my Op Ivy shirt.
Yeah, no wonder he's trying to give you money.
And back then there was no Amazon, so it was like really hard to find those shirts.
Where'd you get your books from?
So we would go to like record stores and CD stores, which were popular. And if they had any bands that I liked, I would have to buy the shirt.
I mean, Spencer's?
Yeah, Hot Topic.
Spencer's, yeah. Hot Spencer's Topic. Had some. I don't think, I mean, Hot Topic
this
definitely
is like a little
had,
early for that, right? But
they definitely had shirts, but I don't know if they had like bands that I loved.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't want a Green Day shirt of Dookie. I wanted Kerplunk, which was like my favorite Green Day shirt.
Right.
Hot Topic
like, wasn't.
Maybe that's like how I started
deep cut.
Really getting into T-shirts because. Mm. They meant so much to me. Like, you had to rep what you loved, and it was hard to find. And piece by piece, you built your T-shirt collection. But yeah, I came back, bought the book, and that started me back into comics hard.
Men love band T-shirts.
But like, I dipped off of comics when I went to college. And then when I came back, my coworker at the music store, him and I, got really into Batman because Scott Snyder started his run, and it was good. The start of Scott Snyder's run was really good. Kind of went off the rails. But Greg Capullo was drawing Batman so good, and then that got me like into the whole backlog of comics, and I went and bought all the classics at that point.
The greatest.
Yeah, and I got really into Walking Dead.
That was happening.
Went back and started picking up all the original Walking Deads.
Hell yeah.
And I was just watching a documentary on Kirkman.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. It's a pretty crazy story. But it's interesting for sure. How he like met his heroes, and he was like $40,000 in debt. I'm sure you know it.
No, I don't know.
Oh, he was like 22. Tony Moore, who was originally drawing The Walking Dead. He like left to college for art, and Kirkman was like left by himself in his hometown, and he was just working at a comic book store, and he was super depressed, and he took out like 13 or 14 different credit cards to fund his first comic, which I think was Battle Pope.
Yeah.
And he was just like in crushing debt for a majority of his life until he got optioned by Image and...
There you go.
Yeah,
the
crazy.
Rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting.
15 seasons
Kevin
of The
Smith
Walking Dead.
Kevin Smith did it right.
Good Yontif, everyone. I don't know that you say it now afterwards.
Bad Yontif.
What is that?
Did you have a good fast? It was Yom Kippur yesterday. So, you know.
Are Eastman and Laird still alive?
Yeah, both of them.
They must be billionaires, right?
I don't know. I think
one of them is, right? Like one
I
of
mean,
them.
I mean, not billionaires, but...
they're definitely well off.
Eastman has like kept
not
it...
50-50?
No, like something... I don't know. I don't know enough about... They're definitely minted. Like, I mean, like they don't have to work if they don't want to. But like, I don't think they're... They own like private jets or anything
really?
Like that. Yeah.
They must make so much from toys.
But no, because I think they like they sold the licensing like happened in the
80s,
you know, in the, like early on, and they sort of gave it all away
forever.
Like forever. I mean, I think they still see, I don't know. I have no idea.
Do you think you could live off of just making appearances at cons and stuff?
Yeah, definitely.
And doing talks and stuff?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm
always wondering how much people get paid for that stuff. You know?
Hillary Clinton gets $400,000 to do speeches.
There you go.
Minted.
Printing money.
She's very liquid.
She just shows up. She's like, hey, y'all, I'm just chilling. You guys ever remember that?
No.
Well, yeah, when Hillary
was running, she was trying to look cool.
She said she was chilling.
I think she did a Snapchat or something. She said,
no, an Instagram.
Hey, y'all, I'm just chilling. And everyone's like, whoa, she's so cool like me. I got to vote for her.
And I did.
And I did. Twice.
Yeah, but we know.
They gave me two ballots.
We know what happened. This ended up being the darkest timeline.
They gave me two ballots that were like stuck together. And I was like, oh, I think maybe they give you two in case you mess up or at the last second you decide you want to switch. And I was like, no, that's retarded. So I filled them both out for killer. And then when I went to go put them into the machine, you know, I realized like I was committing fraud.
Right.
So I tried to stick them back together perfectly. And then when I went to go put them into the machine, they got jammed because there was two of them. So I just ran away with them halfway and inserted
so
the
you
machine.
Probably got zero votes.
Right.
And then, like, the people at the voting center
lost,
were like,
it's all on me.
The people at the voting center were like, who did this? Find Max Young now.
Because I wrote my name on it.
Yeah, find Max Young.
Right, you also thought you're supposed to put your name on it.
Yeah, I thought you'd put your name and date. So I did. Because I don't vote that often. I feel like the most I vote is maybe every 4 years.
That's like the right amount.
Oh.
I mean, no, you should. There's midterms. I know. I know.
Joke, dude.
I know. It's a good one.
Wait, I just found out it's all about being a congressman and alderman because basically you control all the construction and you're legally allowed to take bribes.
Really?
So all these buildings going up, they're definitely kicking money to the aldermen.
No.
Yeah, to the aldermen in their district. And they're illegal. Like mayors aren't allowed to.
Right.
But congressmen are allowed to directly take money. Like legally out in the open, the alderman could be like, no, you can't build this here unless you throw me 100 G's straight cash. And they're like, okay, out in the open. Like, let's do it in the open. Let's go to the green and do it on stage. I'll pass you 100 grand to build this building.
The aldermen? No.
Yeah.
The aldermen are like nothing.
Not congressmen.
Well, you said congressmen and aldermen.
Excuse me. Aldermen and what's the equivalent
like
to an alderman?
City council,
yeah.
Right, right. In New Haven, we have aldermen.
Right. You could legally in the open. And I was looking up the East Rock one.
People.
The East Rock lady, she replaced Justin Ellicker.
Oh.
Like in 2012, I think.
Right. He was an alderman.
Yeah. And then when he became mayor, she filled in. Ellicker endorsed her.
Right.
And she's, I don't know, she seems like her seat needs to be replaced. But it sounds like she's crushing it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
No. We don't want money.
How was the festival?
The fest was good. I went to Woodsist Fest this past weekend in upstate New York in Accord. And it's just this like little indie fest that this band Woods puts on, or their label, which is Woodsist. It was really fun. It felt like I hadn't been to anything like that in a long time.
How big do you think in attendance?
It's small. It's very small. It's always
so
very
like,
small,
what,
and it was
300?
Raining. No, probably like
5 to 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000 to 2,000. Maybe.
Okay,
that's it.
Yeah, like yeah. I mean, it's just a. So there's no like camping.
Right.
It's more at Harley like, Fest.
Yeah, it's like
it happens in someone's backyard.
Right. I mean, this is.
What was the snack situation?
Really good food vendors, actually.
Really?
Yeah. There was like lobster roll truck I got, and they had oysters too. The lobster roll was fire. There was like a Jamaican spot. They were doing like jerk chicken. That was really good.
Nice.
So which one did you have?
I had both of those.
Oh.
And I had these bows also. I tried to hit every one, but I didn't actually hit everyone.
You go to festivals for the food trucks?
I mean,
it's why the other day when you were like surprised that Sammy's cholesterol was worse than yours, and you're like, and I was like, really? Like Sammy's not known for eating well, and you're like, really? I think he eats better than me. Like obviously, Sammy hit up every single food truck.
Right. I did. Yeah, I had pupusas from like the Mexican truck.
It doesn't stop.
And chicken souvlaki from the Greek truck. It was a long day. We were on our feet.
Were you able to like throw a blanket down and sit, or was everything muddy?
Everything was, I mean, it wasn't muddy, but it was just like lightly drizzling. I mean, people did have blankets and chairs down, but everything was wet. Like, but it was this like sort of nice, like you could just stand in the rain like that tight. It was like a mist, you know, it wasn't like, you, right. you know, but you weren't getting soaked. But great fest, great music. Our boy,
yeah, shout him out.
Shout out to Alex Bleeker from Taper's Choice, who was playing, threw us on the list, and we got there like just in time. We rolled up to the fest, and like as we're walking in the gates, I can like hear him on stage like, "Hey, I'm Alex Bleeker, and this is Taper's Choice," and it's like started shredding.
What, were they the first band?
Yeah, how early was
but
he?
We got that he was at 2 o'clock, so we got there. He was the first man we saw. It was sick. I don't know. It was like very chill. And
it's like laid back jam music?
Well, no, not the whole. He was like the only like jam band, sort of. But there's like crossover, you know, it's like more like indie. Tennis. You know, like A.V. Tear from Animal Collective and
Tennis.
And Kevin, and no Tennis.
But it's like Tennis?
Nah, it's like...
Yeah, trust me.
Woods, Cass McCombs, Kevin Morby, Kurt Vile.
Yeah, like, wait, what were all the Kurt Vile bands?
I don't know.
Name one.
I mean, I don't know.
I think we
Kurt
saw
Vile
Kurt
and
Vile
the Violators.
Before.
I don't know. That's
didn't
what I was thinking
didn't about. We see Kurt Vile before? I saw him when really early. I think I was at a show with you and Jonah.
Maybe, yeah.
Is Deer Hunter a band or
yes.
something?
Yeah, that's a thing. That's like
I think we saw Kurt Vile and Deer Hunter at like Chelsea Piers or something.
I saw Deer Hunter at the Wellmont with you and Nips.
Oh, hell
I don't know if you remember this.
I do not.
Of course, you remember.
Alex and I were talking about this.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you were with us. Steve Brown might have been there.
Right.
And the Wellmont was like fairly like new and renovated. And part of the ceiling fell on the dude.
Oh,
do you remember
that? I do
remember
this. Yeah.
I'll never forget it. Like,
oh, but I don't know that I was there.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
I'm like, who else? Because Alex remembers you there. We were talking about it when I visited him.
I know that story.
You're saying Alex is a liar?
No, Sammy might have not been there, but like
so, then Alex is lying.
So many shows I've been to. I remember for some reason you were there, but it was crazy. Like there was just a spotlight on him for a part, whatever part of the show, and literally just it wasn't heavy. It was just like debris, I guess.
Right.
Just right, like just right. falls on him in all this dust and mist.
Yeah.
And he just like looks up and he's like, I think the ceiling just fell on me, and I've never seen that at a show. That was wild. Wellmont, not that good. It's not that good.
Oh, really?
I never liked any show I saw there.
Did they do like a big renovation? And
didn't Pigeon's family co-own it or something like
no,
that?
No, not his family, but like someone he knew.
Okay.
Like another Short Hills family.
The Wellmont is a venue in New Jersey. That was originally a movie theater that was converted to a concert hall. And it's an old, old movie theater. So unfortunately, the acoustics were really weird for bands. Like, I think maybe the theater was designed to amplify bad audio systems because
right.
like, they just weren't that good back in the day. So it was really meant to have sound resonate and bounce
right,
around.
Right.
And I guess maybe venues are supposed to do that, but for some reason, the Wellmont, any show I saw there, I could not find one spot where
yeah.
it sounded good. It was like...
In the middle by the sound booth.
It was just mush. It was a mush factory. And then if you went to the right, you only heard like the bass. If you went to the left, you only heard like the piano or the guitar.
Right.
There was just a lot of sound loss for some reason.
It's a shame.
Page side, rage side.
Taper's Choice has a shirt that's like their keyboard player is named like Kyle or something. It's
Kyle,
like
Kyle side,
side
Ryle side.
It's Kyle side, rage side, but
oh.
It's a play on that.
How many people are Jewish in the band?
I don't know. Bleeker, I guess.
One out of seven?
Would you guys consider starting just a full Jewish podcast?
Yeah, definitely.
And just like talk about being Jewish in America?
Amy would love that.
What happened with the producer? Remember there was the reggae producer?
And we
is he going to do?
So scientist.
Yeah, because he's a producer. He's not necessarily a vocalist.
Right,
he's
just like a dub legend. You know, yeah. He like got started in Jamaica when he was like 16 years old in the 70s.
You knew who this guy was?
60s. Yeah, you just like see his name on, I mean, he's got records himself, but he was just like he's like a dub reggae
legend,
you know, legend, right? And and so yeah, we were very curious, like, what is this set gonna be? Is there gonna be a band on stage that he's like mixing live,
mm-hmm.
or like what? And then like, so we're like waiting for him to come up, and there's like nothing on the stage, you know, nothing's happening, but we do start hearing some like reggae beats, and then we realize he's just under the sound tent with his Midas,
his setup,
you know, his setup,
like turntables, so like, laptop, that deal.
I mean, no, just a laptop and a mixing board, and so everyone starts like gathering around the tent in the middle of the field, and yeah, it was so bizarre. He's just like mixing live, and it's sick. It was super sick, but he kept like, so he's facing the stage, so he's using like the stage as his PA, you know, like he's using like the sound system as his PA, and he like keeps cranking it. Like Ari's watching, he's like, watch, like he's just like the master volumes on the top right, and he like keeps going up, but then like people kept coming over to him being like, it's too loud, and then he'll cut the music super abruptly and just start like talking, you know, like it was so weird, you know. He's like hey, like all love, like mutual respect, like that's what's important, like the sound police are here, like they don't want us to bang it like we want, but like, you know, we're gonna comply. But then like, and then he would go back into it and it would be quieter, but it sounded like the bands were way louder, I guess, like the like his bass or like whatever is just like tripping some meter that's like the sound levels, you know, that are legally allowed at this outdoor venue. And they keep coming over to him and they're like, this is too loud. And then like he like cuts it and like talks for like, oh, the conservatives, like, I don't know, like they don't like the sound, you know, but like, like we're gonna do it, like, and then
why make them an enemy? That's what I never understood. When you're being told to turn down, like,
yeah,
don't make the people asking you to turn down like your enemy. Like, be like, oh guys, I was, you know, even if you have to mention it,
yeah, yeah,
just be like, hey guys, you know, like I'm gonna work on like keeping it a little lower,
right?
You know, don't
shame
them. He's definitely like the biggest nightmare for sound people, because he's an engineer. He's not like a musician. He's a sound guy, you know. So like he also, you know, knows more than anyone else, and so he's like we saw him like before the set even started. He's like arguing with all the guys,
beautiful,
like, back there, just like no, this isn't right. This isn't right. Like you don't understand. And then every time he would come back and it was like quieter, but like still insanely loud, you know, like he just after
little by little
after a couple of minutes, he's cranking the master volume, and then it just like, and then he like cuts it again. And he's like, I mean, he like cut it for like the weirdest reason. He would like cut it and be like there was a song that like mentioned marijuana, and he like cuts it and he's like, you know, like, I don't think marijuana should be illegal, like anything that comes from the earth. Like, it's just like such a weird thing to say in 2023 because it's basically not illegal anywhere anymore.
Right.
And he's like, alcohol, that should be banned, like man-made substances, like, but this is from like God, this is from the earth, you know?
Like poppies.
But alcohol comes from like grain.
Sure, but it's like
it's
distilled and whatever,
processed.
You know? There's like, right, it's processed. But you know,
so is weed.
Yeah, like,
you
right.
Know, weed's
exactly.
So
exactly.
Cross.
Now, yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
I think the most genetically altered plant in mankind.
Right. That makes sense. And then, he's just...
Mickey, can you back me up on that?
And I will not.
Come on.
And then, like, later... But he's killing it, though. The beats are insane. The sound effects, everything.
Is Ari having a good time?
I don't even know. Yeah, Ari's loving it.
Would Jonah have had a good time if he went?
Funny and weird what's happening. Yeah, Jonah would have had a good time.
I would have been cracking up and watching this guy battle.
I mean, Ari, like, loves... He's, like, a hero to Ari.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, he has, like, all his, like, rarest, like, presses.
Oh.
And, like, whatever. Yeah, and, like, so he's like,
nice.
Was really excited about this. And then the last time he cut it, he's like talking about like war and like he's like, I think there should be more female politicians, and like everyone's like, woo, you know. But then he like immediately brings it around to like very misogynistic. He's like, because like they don't have it in them, like in their brains, to like start the war.
They're missing a bone in their brain.
Like, I mean, that's not what he said exactly, but he's basically right. Like, more female politicians. Everyone's like, woo. And he's like, because they're not made to say it. And it's like, oh, wait a second. What? Why are you saying this? And then, but then at the very end, and when he was like, okay, this is going to be our last song, like, thank you so much. Like, you know, the sound police, they didn't want us to have it as loud as we wanted. But, like, you know, I wish I could have really banged it for you all. Like, I wanted to communicate with the aliens, you know.
My
That's
dude.
What he's saying, like, how loud. He wanted it so loud. He wanted to communicate with the aliens, you know.
He wanted to wake up those Nazca dummies.
When he was blasting it, how loud was it? Like, was it
didn't seem that loud. But like honestly, like, when I, and we went, I guess we were further from the stage because we're at the set, but it's all like very close. But then we moved like further away from him and closer to the stage, so we were like closer to the speakers, and yeah, it was loud. But honestly, when the bands were playing, I couldn't be so up, I couldn't be so close, because I thought it was so loud it was like hurting my ears.
Okay.
You know, like, because it was like sharper. I don't know how to explain. I don't know anything about sound or whatever, but it did not, I like, just dead ass, like, because we were like able to like talk in like a way where we could hear each other, whereas like when the other bands were playing, like, I couldn't hear what Mike and Ari were saying. But I guess, again, it was just like, it was the different, it was like the bass, you
correct,
know, and like that was just like hitting some.
Well,
but it,
what happens is there's a difference in sound between being like sonically large,
right,
and then having just certain frequencies, right?
Right.
So I think when, like, I could be wrong, but my assumption is when the sound people, I mean, dub, reggae is mostly bass.
Yeah.
And when you have a band, like you were saying, you're hitting it on the head. When you have a band, it's more of a rounded sonic sound, but you have more high pitch frequencies.
Right.
You have more treble in there, right?
Right.
And the sound people can balance that and keep that at a certain volume, but it's still sonically a large thing,
right?
It's this big, large, multiple instruments.
Right.
But when you have one guy like blasting bass, you're going to destroy the speakers, because you're just pumping bass through those speakers.
Right.
And if those speakers blew, that whole festival's done. You know, they're not bringing in another PA system, you know, because the PA systems are so big and expensive.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I don't think it was about the speakers that, like, you know, hurting the speakers. I think it was more about the...
All right, enough about this.
Okay.
Will you make us a delicious pasta dinner tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah. Or we could go to New Goodfellas or something.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I mean, Zelda's home. She doesn't eat pasta.
What about gluten-free pasta?
That's, yeah.
Let's lock it in.
All right. Pasta dinner.
Pasta dinner. Are you in, DB?
Tuesdays for pasta, big pasta
dinner. Tuesdays for pasta.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure, or yes, sir?
I said, yeah, sure.
Sure.
Or yes, sir.
How about sir, sure? Sure, sir.
Sure, sir.
Dude, I just noticed in my peanut butter crackers pack.
Yeah.
They didn't give me a full cracker. They just gave me the top of it.
Let me see.
What?
There's a whole...
What? Wait.
Right there.
What?
Isn't that messed up? I'm writing to the company.
I mean, they'll definitely send you... If you email them, they'll send you a new box.
Lance Toast Chi, you're going to hear from me.
Armor for Sleep's little brother, who was in R grade, used to write companies like that and be like, oh, like my Snapple was a little off, or there's no top cracker, in the hopes of getting like boxes of free shit.
Amazing. In high school.
In high school. And he was also the first person to tell me, because I guess he used to be a little chubby, but he was like thin by the time I met him. And he said, running on the treadmill is how we lost weight. And then I found out over the years that's how like everyone lost weight, was
right, cardio.
Running, cardio. And then one time his camp played my camp in soccer.
Yeah.
And which is weird, because I don't think that was a normal thing where we had camps come in.
Right.
And on the side of our soccer field, it sloped hard, you know.
Yeah.
And he got tripped by one of our players, and he tripped down the hill. You know, it was only like 3 feet or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like he like tumbled down it, and then when he got up, he tried fist fighting that person.
No.
And like. As weird it was to have another camp visit us to play sports, which is so far out, fist fighting at my camp was even, like, I couldn't comprehend it. Like, this is impossible. Like, the physics don't work. You can't throw punches at this camp,
right,
you know?
Right.
And then it was quickly broken up, and I was like, whoa, this kid's a psycho. And then I have so many stories with him. We weren't even friends.
Yeah.
And then also, he's the inventor of Stay Vig.
That's
like
crazy,
the one time,
right?
I went to his house, he invited like my crew over to smoke weed in his basement, and then all of a sudden, right after school, then all of a sudden we hear his mom come to the top of the basement steps, but it's around the corner, or she just opens the door so we can't see each other, and she's like, oh, what are you, like, what's going on down there? He's like, oh, nothing, mom, we're just hanging out. And like we kind of freak out, but he's like, oh, it's fine, like, you know. And then 5 minutes later she does the same thing, and then the third time she just starts screaming, I smelled weed the whole time, blah 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 blah. And we just start sneaking out the back door, and he's like, wait, you guys are leaving? We're like, yeah, we're about to get in trouble, like, we're leaving.
Right.
And he's like, oh, real nice, Stay Vig. And then we said Stay Vig forever, you know.
Right, he was the inventor. We carried that on with
yeah.
us for the rest
Stay
of our
Vig,
lives.
Yeah.
And what, Vig meaning vigilant?
Yeah. Stay vigilant.
We don't say it so much anymore, but we said it for 15 years hard.
Right.
At least.
Stay Vig.
Not vigilante, like stay a vigilante?
Well, that's vigilant.
But I think that's all the stories I have with him. One time Trevor in science class was like, yo, like they wrote mad fucked up shit in the bathroom stall. And I was like, oh, okay. And then like a minute later, he's like, dude, you got to go see it. It's so fucked up. I'm like, what? I'm like, shut up. And then he's like, dude, you have to go see it. I'm like, all right, raise my hand. Gotta go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. Nothing there. Come back. My backpack, every single zipper is open. I assume he was trying to find shit in my backpack and rob me. Didn't confront him. I was just like, this is so weird. I don't even know what to do. I'm a little boy.
That guy was a scumbag.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was like,
I looked him up. I think he's selling insurance in Florida now or something.
Really? That sounds right. That was your boy, though, right?
That was DB's boy, yeah. Ride or die.
I hung out with him and when we were kids.
And
you
kissed.
Know?
Yeah. Doing scumbag shit.
No. Mm. I was never a schemer or like
You
or
were
like
the lookout guy.
No, I never really got into that world. I was never a schemer. I wasn't smart enough to convince someone to go to the bathroom so I could like rifle through
right,
their backpack.
Yeah, right.
You know, like
not that.
That. I never
like
made those connections.
Yeah, but you got into trouble, no?
Not really. No.
All right, Stay Vig, dude.
What do you mean? You would have wild drug parties at your house during school hours.
Wild
and
what?
Drug parties during and after school every day at your house.
I mean, by senior year, we would go and smoke weed at lunch or...
Wild drug parties.
Wild drug parties.
Or right. after school. Right. You know,
in brewskis?
No.
No?
No.
Just
and what?
Brewskis.
Oh, brewskis?
Just no. Wild drug parties.
It was hard to get liquor. I mean, at least for us. Like, we had to get liquor from upperclassmen who had to get liquor from people they knew that were older. So it was just this chain,
right?
And you would be overcharged for a 30 rack.
What, you couldn't just hit up EB or KB?
They were at college by the time. Ooh. I started drinking and doing that stuff.
Right.
Would they gladly buy you liquor though if they were home for the weekend, you gave them money?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, I never really hit them up. Like by the time EB and I started hanging out,
Coke was more the
thing. Oh, like I started drinking underage, like at like 20, because I would go to the Landmark and Ian's was friends with the bartender, and they wouldn't card me. So I did start drinking early with Ian, but like it was in social settings,
allegedly.
Right. We don't want to call out the landmark for doing anything.
Right, but you guys have no problem calling out Trevor's full name and, well, and putting him on blast.
Fuck that, so. Ken. Yeah, I'll put him on blast. I told a story about him trying to rob me.
Giving his location and what he's doing. Yeah.
Wait, do you see the difference there? One place hooked you up and one place was trying to rob me.
Well, the people that work at that one place like don't work there anymore for
It doesn't
for
matter. It's
reasons.
On the business. It's on the owners.
All right.
All right, I don't care. I literally don't give a shit. Landmark serves underage kids. If you're an underage kid listening, you're in the greater Livingston area, show up to Landmark and they'll serve you beers galore.
They did in 2006 or 7, I guess.
Right. This is a lot. Yeah.
Old habits die hard.
Statutes
I'm sure it's
limitations
still going on.
Are over.
If anything, I bet it's the opposite. I bet you could even get in now 17, 18 years old.
No, it's all different now.
How do you know?
The world.
Because I was working in Livingston for a long time.
And?
And like a lot of the hijinks we were doing, yes, I said hijinks. A lot of the hijinks we were doing, the Utes just weren't into. They were smarter. They were very driven and motivated to be good students and get into good colleges.
I thought they were all doing heroin.
Where we were more interested in partying and doing bad stuff.
Wasn't the heroin epidemic like at its peak then?
Yes.
Right after
yes.
us.
Yes. Right. No. Like during us.
No. After us is when
you think
like,
so.
I mean, like it was definitely
like you guys were early
us.
To the game,
right? Right.
I mean, not
right.
At least in Jersey, but right. not nationally.
Yeah, the opioid epidemic. I mean, it's still happening now. But,
I thought
how
we were
often
ready to get,
do you guys think of the Roman Empire? You guys,
oh
this
yeah, yeah. Corey Graves called it out.
Oh,
what,
he
that
did.
Stupid meme going around.
Right? Corey Graves said
so
it.
So annoying.
I don't know. What are we supposed to fucking talk about?
Corey Graves said it. Dude, should we get into it?
What did he say?
Raw was fucking tweet last
Wait,
night.
Wait, what did Corey say?
He was just like, something happened. He's like, oh, I'm over here, sidetracked, thinking about the Roman Empire. Meanwhile, blah blah blah, did this.
I'm more into Sumerians.
On announcer table.
At the announcer table.
He's making
Raw.
Meme references during his job.
Right.
Which is pretty chill.
You're thinking of the Sumerians.
No, I'm saying it's chill that he sneaks in memes. Might not be a good meme, but he's doing it.
Right.
You know? I'm into Sumerians.
Yeah. Yeah, I never think about it.
Grayson, do you ever think about the Roman Empire?
So that would be. Right.
They didn't do it Grayson TV last night.
Well, he's on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right. I didn't watch Raw last night. Tell me about it.
It was dope.
It was good.
The ending was the best part. Well, it opened and ended the same way. But
correct.
The ending, it's a match. The honorary Mooses.
Oh, it's like the movie Tenet. It's like
that I still don't understand.
It opened and closed the same way. It was like a palindrome of the
famously
episode of Raw.
A bad movie.
Right.
Is it bad because like no one understood it, or is it bad just because Chris Nolan didn't convey the idea as well?
He doesn't understand it. I don't know.
If no one understands it, that means he didn't convey the idea
right.
as well.
Yeah. Right. I watched it, and I watched like the YouTube videos trying to explain it because I'm missing something a lot in this movie.
Right.
Still no clue.
So Raw did it better, though. Is
Raw
what you're
did
saying.
It better.
Raw
all right, so
perfected
basically,
the palindrome
Sami Zayn
episode.
And Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Versus Judgment Day a la Finn and Damian.
Okay.
Shit's getting heavy. And then...
the belts recently changed hands
yeah.
from Sami and KO to Finn
and
Damian. So now
JD McDonagh comes out.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Dom comes out. Dirty Dom shows up. And because Dom shows up, then Jey Uso shows up to help.
Right.
And then because Jey showed up, JD McDonagh shows up, and then because JD McDonagh shows up, your boy, the American Nightmare,
Cody Rhodes
shows up.
Wait, this is the match at the end?
So it's a 2-on-2, but yeah, this is the final match, the main event. So it's a 2-on-2, but then these other guys show up, and they're just beating up each other on the outside of the ring,
right.
and everyone's cheating. Sami got like a 10-count pin, but the ref was sidetracked. Whatever. Judgment Day retains their belts.
Nice.
Oh, and then so Cody comes out, and then after Cody comes out, Pierce and all his goons come out.
Right.
So it's just like madness, and every star is there. It's going nuts.
The ring, yeah.
Judgment Day retains, and by this point, all the extra people have gotten Pierce, wrangled them up, took them backstage.
Yeah.
Then it seems like the episode's about to fade out. Every single person comes running out again, and it's just this huge brawl in the ring of 4-on-4 with chairs and everything. It's nuts. It's just a real good time. I had a great time. I had a good time.
Are you starting to get tired of the shtick of like there's no clean wins? You and I were talking a little bit about it. For me, I'm starting to get a little annoyed at it, meaning like if you're, and it almost seems like every match,
yeah,
is like if there's a title,
there's always something to complain about, you know?
That's what we're talking about. If there's like a title on the line, it just can't be this clean win. Like someone has to interfere, something has to happen to disrupt the match. Like I'm starting to get annoyed at all the match disruptions,
yeah,
and that's part of the story and stuff, but
of course,
I also want to see like a wrestler be smart or think of a move or you know what I mean, or just take advantage of a moment of weakness and get a clean win.
Right.
Like
Dom had a clean win last night, no, to retain against Dragon Lee.
NXT's Dragon Lee. I don't know who that is.
I think he did.
He wears a mask like Dom's dad.
I mean, you know, on like Raw,
they just have to constantly switch it up. There's only so many things you can do.
Lest we forget the children's show. Right. Certainly, I'm sure, like, at some premium live events in the past few months, like, there have been belt matches that, like, with clean wins. But a lot of the story is about what's happening outside of the ring. So, like, and it's all...
And it builds heat.
Right.
Yo, Damian did a promo, I was telling Max last night, that scared the shit out of me.
Really?
Like, he... After the opening of Raw, when JD McDonagh came and interfered, Damian flipped out on him and got in his face. And it was really good. I was like, that was the first time I was like, wow, Damian did great. Like, I couldn't believe it.
He got in JD McDonagh's face.
Oh, flipped out on him.
He was like 3 feet taller than him.
Right, which is even more great. You know, so funny. And he's just screaming in his face, like, you know, you're not in the Judgment Day. Stop acting like you're in the Judgment Day. We don't need your help. And he was just flipping out on him. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, JD, are you okay? Like, I was intimidated, like, through the screen.
Yeah.
But Max and I were just saying, like, he has come such a long way.
Damian.
Yeah, I can't believe from when we first started watching... And him, just remember how hard we would rip on him just being the lurch in the Judgment Day. And now he's like holding the Judgment Day down.
Right.
Like they gave him the money in the bank. He was always messing up his lines.
Yeah.
He was always messing up. And now he's doing so good.
Well.
Was he the original Judgment Day member or was that Finn?
He was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Edge, Rhea, and Damian.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when Finn came in, they betrayed Edge.
Right. Yeah, Finn was the last.
Yeah.
The Kurt Angle did a really good interview with Rogan.
Yeah.
And I've watched a bunch
recently?
Of it. Yeah, I've watched a bunch of it. He's been having wrestlers on because Tony, what's Tony's last name?
Khan.
Tony.
No, not of AEW. Tony Schiff is his last name. The comedian.
From what?
That does Kill Tony.
Oh,
I forgot his last name. Whatever. That comedian like loves wrestling. So he's, I guess, got to Joe and was like, hey, let's get some wrestlers on.
Because he's on Joe Rogan?
Sometimes. Like, he's just part of Rogan's crew.
Okay.
You know, it's like Rogan, Shane Gillis, Tony, Ari, Mark Normand.
Right.
They're all this little, like, alternative comedy crew.
Okay.
And some people say they're the top. You know,
right?
But the Hogan interview was terrible. It was just filled with lies.
Yeah.
Like, and there's mad YouTube videos of people just ripping Hogan apart for lying.
He sucks in interviews.
Yeah, and just pointing out all of his lies,
right.
and systematically being like, this story is literally impossible because like in 1984, Hulk Hogan was literally here.
Right.
There's no way he could have been here doing this. Kurt Angle's on. He is the greatest. Like, he's such a normal, genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
He broke his neck 4 times in 2 years in WWE. 4 times in 2 years he broke his neck. And that's after
insanity.
Yeah, and that's after breaking his neck during the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's just got a weak neck.
Well, yeah, once he broke it in the Olympics, I think he was prone to it at that point. But one of the stories he said was Brock Lesnar, who was new. You're supposed to like do a chair. That's why they stopped doing chair shots to the head, yeah. which I really miss.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing more satisfying than seeing a guy take a chair to the dome. And that sound is great. But like when you hit a guy with a chair on the head, you're supposed to come at like an angle. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be on like the side. Like
Kurt.
Correct.
Angle.
You're supposed to like hit him on
very
like
good.
The come at him on the side of the head or mm-hmm. something. And Brock, who was fairly new, hit him directly on top of the head and it fractured 3 vertebrae in his neck.
Holy shit.
And then he just wasn't letting his neck heal.
Wrestling's not real though.
Yeah, right. He just wasn't letting his neck heal. But I just cannot believe the punishment that guy took.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
American hero.
So, and like he was just, he had never watched WWE before he joined.
Yeah.
Had no concept of what like entertainment wrestling is.
Right.
And came in and was put in the spotlight. It's a pretty amazing story. And like, he just was down for anything. And that's why he, I think, was so loved.
Yeah.
Because he was like, look, like I knew a lot of my promos, the joke was on me.
Right.
He was like, but the audience and the fans loved me for that.
You
like,
suck. You suck.
Are you telling me that directly?
You suck.
That's what they...
That was, they sang his theme like that.
Oh, really?
Or yeah, when he came out.
Like, you know, his favorite... He would say is like the promo that like got him over, like the funniest one that he loves, is where he was fighting Rey Mysterio. And this is a very famous story, but he was saying to Rey, the promo, Brian Gewirtz from the book wrote this promo
for
him.
Pronouncing it properly.
Huh?
Thank you for pronouncing it properly.
Yeah, no problem. That's, he makes a huge point of that in the book. He goes, Rey Mysterio, you're a little boy in a man's world, and I love playing with little boys. And then like you'd be like, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Right. And then the crowd's cracking up, and then he'd say something else that's stupid.
You know, the infamous Kurt Angle. First of all, shout out to Kurt Loder from MTV News or whatever.
God bless.
Respectable.
But what is that guy up to, you think? I bet he got Me Too'd super hard. Kurt tried doing this promo where he thinks he's so over. Well, the idea is that he's so over. He's like, and he's doing a backstage interview where he's like, I'm so over, I could say anything and the audience would love it. And then he starts saying these fucked up things. And one is, and the idea is that he's saying fucked up things.
Right, right, right.
But one of them is like, black people suck or something right, along the right, lines of yes, that. And yeah. then everyone's like, whoa, this is no, this is not working out well. Like, no.
Who wrote that one? That was just straight off the dome.
Yeah, that was Perk Angle, authored by Perk Angle.
Yeah, dude, he was taking 15 to 20 Percocet a day.
Jesus.
That's
Christ.
Not that much.
He said...
compared to OCs.
Right, it's true. That's he like said, one OC.
He said that the day he found out his sister died.
Yeah.
It was like WrestleMania.
Oh my goodness.
And he had to fight Brock Lesnar. And he woke up that morning and he took 20 perks.
Jeez.
Just that morning. And he had to be at WrestleMania by like 1:30. It's yeah. like when wrestlers had to show. And his match was at like 6:30.
Yeah.
And he took 20 perks. And like Joe Rogan was like, how would you take them? He's like, I'd fucking put them in my mouth and chew them.
Chew them up,
and
yeah.
then just swallow them.
Yeah.
It's badass.
He fell asleep, and he woke up at 5 o'clock.
No.
And he woke up to, like, everyone flipping out, like, where are you?
Yeah.
He got to the stadium by 5:30, and he said he wrestled Brock Lesnar, and he has zero memory or recognition of what happened in that match.
Sad.
That's what WWE is like trying to prevent now, you know,
right.
is like doing that to their wrestlers. And we were talking about it, like they're investing in people, they're changing the body type, they're changing the type of wrestler they're going for, and they want them to be healthy and they want them to be there for longevity.
I think we're giving them a little too much credit.
I think it's like both ways. I think they want that to be the way, but at the same time, the underlying most important thing is get your ass to work no matter what you have to do, like get here.
Right, but I'm saying that the strategies they're implementing and the demand has changed. The demand from their employees has definitely changed.
Right.
And it's to support longevity and to support them having longer careers.
Right. Their bottom line.
What do you think is like, what do you guys think is missing from wrestling right now? And I'm not talking about, oh, you know, back then it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what's something that you think could be improved or is like missing in the modern day that would fit in with the modern day?
Nobody punches Rhea, none of the guys.
So you would think like women fighting men coming back would be, it would add a lot more stakes and drama to a lot of situations.
Specifically Rhea.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just love the pageantry, the theatrics.
Yeah.
I'm like, kind of over the Shinsuke Seth beef.
Sure. Yeah.
You are?
Yeah, I it's just the, been the same thing over and over again for Shinsuke and Seth. Like there's nothing new in it for me. It's just Shinsuke being a heel and doing like video promos that Seth has to watch. Like that, his whole segment on Raw was, I think, pretty boring last night. He just stood in the ring.
But I bet Shinsuke takes the belt from him soon.
You think so? I don't think
so. Why else would they continue the story if not to, I don't know. I just feel like what would be the point?
I don't think Seth is going to drop the belt for a long time.
I see that, but also I just feel like they added this belt to be the belt that changes hands, whereas, like, you know, because the heavyweight champ belts Roman has.
I'm sorry, who?
Roman Reigns.
Who's that?
You keep on doing that, but like, that what are you talking about?
It's been a long time since we've
long
seen
him. Long time. It's been 3 months.
No, that's not true.
Tell me one time.
What do you mean? When was his fight with Jay? Was not that long ago. It was not 3 months ago. And then he came out the following, like when Jay did the deuces ooses and like left SmackDown.
Roman wasn't even in the
Roman
ring.
Roman was there, yeah. Roman was there.
Yeah, he speared Roman.
Yeah.
Can you look up the when was Deuces Ooses? Oh, we titled one of our pods that.
Right.
So
I mean,
we
we're getting on like 6 weeks now or something. It's been a long time, but that's what he's been. I mean, like, anyway, he's the guy that can't lose these belts. So when they introduced this third top tier belt and gave it to Seth, yeah, like he's having a good run, but he can't like keep it for years because they're already doing that with Roman, like the, or maybe they do, I don't know. But I think, I don't know that he'll lose it to Shinsuke, but.
Right. The thing with.
6 weeks ago.
It was six weeks
that's
ago.
That's what I said.
Oh, nice. Good call, Sam.
6 weeks. Like the last pay-per-view or whatever. What's the next pay-per-view coming up?
Fastlane this weekend, I think.
Fastlane.
Or next weekend.
I've never even heard
no,
of
it's
it.
No, it's this weekend.
Are you sure? I think there's an NXT thing this weekend. And then, I don't know, they didn't promote Fastlane October 7th.
Okay, yeah, so it's
not
two,
this weekend,
yeah,
right?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, right.
The only thing for it so far is Shinsuke versus Seth.
And wait, and what was the last one? Backlash. What was the Pittsburgh in September?
Oh, Payback.
At Payback, and there was no Roman.
I don't think there was any Roman at Payback, right?
Right.
I can't remember.
I guess not. If we're saying that thing was 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that was SummerSlam that Jay and Roman fought. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's.
Like, for me, it gets to the point where no one cares about those belts. At least I don't.
I don't care about any of the belts right now, to be honest.
I do. The belts, and I like them, like, fighting for the belts. I like how that's a little more relevant now. Like, when they premiered the heavyweight belt, I like that, like, people are striving for that. It gives everyone a reason to fight, and, like, it crowns people better competitors than others. It just adds to competition, in my opinion. And like, I mean, it's to the point where I don't care about Roman. I don't care about the Bloodline storyline anymore. Do you guys think that the Bloodline storyline is beefed at this point. Like, it was such a good...
It morphed into something else.
Yeah, but...
It's like the next chapter of it, where they're, like, split up. Jay's going face on Raw, Jimmy's heel on SmackDown. Pissing off Solo and Paul. I mean, yeah, it's just a different story now. It's continuing.
Something new, even if it's not the tops.
But it's the beginning of the new story. Like, we're just getting started in it. You gotta let it grow.
Let it grow.
There's just not a lot going on there, so.
All right, well, let's get out of it. Say something.
Are we going to be the bad boys of symphonies now?
Should we get into that? You guys give it a 10 out of 10, the performance?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't have a lot to judge on. So from what I have seen, I was... So we went to a symphony. Friend of the pod, Ben, was nice enough. He wasn't feeling well. He gifted us tickets.
Blessed us.
Blessed us with tickets last Friday. And we put on our tuxedos and we went to the symphony.
Our monkey suits.
And
or penguin suits? What is it?
Oh, I'm not sure. Let's go penguin.
Yeah, we went. It was the Yale Philharmonia. The Yale Philharmonic. They did a performance of Mahler's Third Symphony last Friday,
which is allegedly a top 10 symphony.
And it changed Max's life.
Don't do that.
What? You were blown away.
I was not blown away, and I was upset about. I didn't think it was bad at all. The upsetting part is you guys acting like it was the bee's knees. When
nobody
was
acting
just,
like that.
It was fine.
It was. No, it was real. It was.
No one's acting like that. DP says it's 10 out of 10.
Well, he's saying like he had a really good time. He doesn't have a lot to.
I had a really good time too, but I was hoping for more.
I feel you. The I mean, the only.
Not that I was disappointed.
My only notes, I guess, were like with the space itself. Like, we sat in the very back row and just like. So there was like a lot of motion and commotion, like in the around the doors in the back, like people like dropping phones, unzipping backpacks, walking in and out. Like, all the chairs were creaky, you know, these like old wooden chairs. So it didn't feel, you know, like I didn't feel fully immersed in it. But you know, but it was I mean, it certainly wasn't life-altering, but it was really beautiful, and I thought
it
great,
was
powerful.
Yeah, it was. I mean, to like hear a crescendo live.
Yeah,
you know, I don't have a lot of symphony reference, so I was pretty amazed, and like I loved the music. There were parts that I wasn't thrilled about in some of the movements, but the overall experience is what I'm taking away from, not necessarily just the music. Like, if you wanted to judge like each movement, there was pros and cons,
right?
But overall, to be in that space, to just see that there's no amplification, it's humans making these sounds with just acoustic instruments and like in the setting, and that's how music has existed for 500 years, you know, like it makes you just really appreciate and take in, at least for me, like what the whole experience is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're there to use your imagination. What I like doing is reading the title of the movement and then seeing the story the composer's trying to convey. And that's really fun. Like, I like just getting a title and then letting the music create that story.
Tell the story.
Yeah. And it was just something we don't do often. You brought up a great point where it takes patience, it takes concentration to experience this style of music. And a lot of the content we digest nowadays is very short, vapid. It was really powerful. It was really good for me. I felt very like it was like a meditative state you could go into and just relax and just let your ears do the work.
That's great.
You don't have to rely on anything else. Although I would be like, I'm sure they are out there. I think I've seen them before. There's like laser light symphonies. Like I would like to go to that. Yeah. Like have a little more visual going on while the symphony's going on. Like sit in a super ass nice like the movie theater reclining seats.
Right, right.
Like if I could get in one of those where like if you're gonna be there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, get in a nice comfy chair.
Yeah.
Have like some kind of visual going on. And I think
let
they
it
do
wash
it.
Over you.
Yeah.
Little Laser Floyd.
Right, but
something
like
that.
Yeah, like
the planetarium.
Oof, my God, a symphony in a planetarium would be
I think they do that.
That
stuff.
Would be intense, dude.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done the Laser Floyd thing?
I don't think I have.
We didn't go one time in Jersey back in the day when we all loved Floyd and shit.
I think you're thinking of Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know that I ever went. I went, like, if someone told me I was there, like, when the roof fell on Deer Hoof, I wouldn't deny it.
But is it Deer Hunter or Deer Hoof?
Oh, Deer Hunter.
I like Deer Hoof better.
They're both, yeah, whatever. Yeah, no, I mean, for sure, Max was a changed man when we came out of there.
Changed his underwear.
How long was it?
It was like...
Probably an hour and a half, right?
It was a little more, like over an hour and a half, under 2 hours from start to finish.
I mean, when the vocalist came out, and it's just, you know, and you just hear how beautiful her voice is resonating through the hall.
She was good.
It was just amazing, amazing. And it definitely gets other parts of your brain moving. You know what I mean? Parts of your brain that you probably don't use when you're watching something or even listening to modern music.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much imaginative music, in my opinion. It's not connecting with the lead singer.
Right.
And experiencing the lyrics or the content of the song. Like, you know, you went and saw the Pixies and Modest Mouse recently, and you're going for the songs and what he's singing and what he's saying. And the music's great too, but a lot of that is you're connecting with the lead singer, a front man.
Right.
You know, the only front man in this is like the composer flipping out. And I love like watching the composer.
The conductor, my mistake.
Yeah. That's how much little I know.
Right. No.
I love watching the conductor and just being like, you know, is he really doing anything?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Are they
right,
really
right,
following
right,
him?
Right.
Like, obviously he is, you know. Yeah. And like, you can tell he's keeping time. Like, he always has some kind of pulse or beat in what his movements are. But, I mean, that's so cool. Imagine like a jam band having a conductor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where like a jam starting to crescendo or like get tasty and like a guy's like conducting it and like
epic.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Well, I was thinking about the conductor a lot when we were there, and I think the most I could figure out is he does more work like getting the band prepared for the concert. You know, he's like not doing so much during the actual performance because everyone has it down to a T by then, but he's the one like leading practices and all that direction
for sure. And what's even
he's keeping time, right? That's what like the conductors,
I think, he's doing more. I think he's like reminding people like, hey, your part's coming up,
right?
And like, use this energy in this part, and but everyone already knows it or whatever.
You know what's really cool though,
I'm
is
guessing,
is like the whole symphonies quality and their whole sound, it comes down to this guy's opinion,
right?
Like this one guy's opinion. Like, he's such an expert of how the piece should sound,
right,
that he knows how to build it, you know? Like, that's what's crazy too, is like he knows like how to convey the crescendo correctly.
Right.
He's such an expert. He knows how to make it.
I mean, it's his interpretation of the
piece.
He's
like a director for a movie. It's his take on it.
Yeah. I mean, also, I thought it was so great, and I think it's like a lot of other things, like wrestling, where you have
it's
to...
It's a children's show.
No, you have to... The more you know about it, the more you will enjoy it. Not the more you know about the specific piece, but like about performances like that, you know, there are certain things you're looking for. There are certain tropes and cliches, and there's like, it has its own language and it has its own jargon, just like wrestling, that like when you're first watching it can seem dumb or you don't understand something. But then once you understand, like, I mean, as there are baby faces and heels, you know, like watching that
conductor was a heel.
Right. But like coming in, like watching a wrestling match and like not knowing, and that's like maybe the first thing people start to understand, you know, that like, oh, there's a good guy and a bad guy. And like, we have fun rooting for the good guy and booing the bad guy. And once you know those things, the more you give yourself over to this thing, the more fun it becomes, and like the more of a meaningful experience you have with it. So like, just it being the first thing I went to like this, you know, in probably my whole life. I mean, I'm sure I've seen something like that before, but not in my adult memory. Like, I thought it was. I thought it was tops for sure. And I can see like getting into it more, or that it could be more, the more you understand, the more enjoyable it could be.
Yeah.
Just like, again, just like wrestling, just like a lot of things, you know, like, the more you watch, the more you listen, just like your favorite album,
the more you know.
Right, the more you know.
It's insane. This, it got a standing ovation. It used to mean something to get a standing ovation.
I think they definitely should have. Those players are amazing. Like, I think we heard a top tier skill level. Like, I don't think the Yale.
I mean, I don't
think Yale's getting
students.
Amateurs in there.
Right, they're students.
Right, but they're like the bee's knees of students.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
If you went around
sure.
to America yes. universities,
yeah, yeah, but not,
are you, do you want to see a show at, you know, Kutztown, or do you want to go see the symphony at Yale?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I mean, I'm sure most colleges don't even have symphonies.
Or do
so
you
like want to
see the Yale graduates who have been on a professional orchestra for 20 years, you know?
Right. Well, that's the next level of these things. Like all of these.
So what if Yale's
schools.
Getting a standing ovation when you go see the pros? You gotta climb on the ceiling.
It doesn't have to.
I think everyone just starts beating the shit out of each other. Right. It's so good.
Right. I guess
just
so.
Breaks out into full babyface versus heel in the audience.
Standing ovation. You just stand at the end because it's like time to stand and you clap.
What?
Like there's like it's about
you
the
know,
enthusiasm.
I was more offended that Max stayed seated and refused to stand up in protest.
I mean, I got up with the mob mentality.
I
know.
I'm kidding.
Well, he was having GI issues. I think
I was not. I don't have GI issues.
Yeah, right.
GI Joe issues. Because I can't get the one doll I need to finish my collection. But
dude, you were like
the
got him.
They're not dolls. They're action figures.
No, I get the dolls.
They're action figures. We watched the first episode of Wrestlers, the Netflix doc that Sammy is enjoying. Al Snow's.
And he gave a standing ovation to that halfway through. It's ridiculous.
And what was in Al Snow's office behind him? So Al Snow's an old wrestler. He has his own wrestling league.
Promotion.
OVW, Ohio Valley. A lot of great wrestlers came out of that. And... they're just, the documentary focuses on the promotion.
It's the guy who made Cheer and Last Chance U, like other
I don't know those.
These other Netflix docuseries. Cheer had like a big I mean I think both of them are like very well respected and beloved. But Cheer, I think, was like had a pandemic moment because everyone was just at home watching it. But
okay.
I never watched it, but he focuses on some like, you know, like I think Last Chance U was like a college football team, or like a high, and Cheer was like the high school like nationals for cheerleading,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. So it's just these like sort of like niche. I think Wrestlers is probably Cheer is probably pretty niche, but yeah. So he's following this small promotion, but small but storied, you know, like you were saying, like very legendary sort of promotion,
struggling
and struggling absolutely, that's fronted, headed by this old WWE wrestler, Al Snow.
And he had in his office, and I'm just pointing this out.
Yeah.
He had in his office behind him mad superhero stuff. So he had like a bust of Spider-Man and a bust of Captain America, Alex Ross designs. And I just, it's so prevalent in wrestlers that they all love superheroes.
Yeah.
Like all of them, like when you hear them talk in interviews or stuff like that, it comes up that like, and I'm surprised by that. I'm just pointing that out, that so many wrestlers were inspired by superheroes to get into wrestling. And I just love that.
I mean, think a lot of their characters, I think you can tell by like some of their characters, they're like, you know, real life superheroes.
Yeah,
you know,
that's like, that's what they wanted to be. Yeah. You know, they started out where they're like, oh, I want to be Spider-Man and like do flips. And like even writers and wrestlers, like they all have their own favorite superhero, and it means something to them. Like it's still important to them. And like we love superheroes, we love comics, so it's just so interesting how those worlds blend. They're so similar.
Yeah, I like a lot of baby shit.
It's crazy how nerds are into nerd shit. You know? What are you guys going to be for Halloween? Don't bullshit me. Don't fucking bullshit me. Sammy, you go first. Hurry.
I was thinking Hoobie from Hoobie Halloween.
So what, you're going to have a thermos?
I'll have a thermos.
Green jacket?
And, yeah, I guess.
Mustache?
Mustache, voice. You got to do the voice.
Halloween is upon us. My favorite part of the movie is when he kisses the TV at the end. Or no, he's kissing the camera and then she's kissing the TV. DB, what are you going to be?
I'm going to be Zohan.
Oh,
nice.
So what are you going to do?
Walk around with
a prosthetic nose on.
Right.
Put a prosthetic nose on and wig.
Following in a long line of your heroes, like Cillian Murphy playing Oppenheimer, Jew, Helen Mirren doing Golda Meir.
Are you having a Halloween and or October 1st party?
Well, October 1st is this Sunday.
What's an October 1st party?
Zelda's birthday.
So,
are you doing Zelda's birthday party anytime or Halloween party anytime?
I don't have any plans.
You don't have any plans? Amy was trying to say that Zelda's going to be home for her birthday. No. Or for Halloween, I think she said.
Oh, for Halloween, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
To help with the crowd.
Right.
And then Zelda immediately was like, that's retarded. And Amy's like, we'll see.
What are you dressing up as, Mick?
Someone said I should be Jabba the Hutt.
That's not nice.
Come on.
That's not nice.
No, but one time...
You're way too big to be Jabba the Hutt.
Noah, in all seriousness, says I look like Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
That's so not nice.
And then like a year later, he came to make amends to me. But just about like whatever. And then I told him, like, I'll forgive you for everything if you don't make me sit through your amends. And he got so pissed. But at the same time, it is kind of selfish if I don't want to hear his
Supposed to, you're not supposed to put people through it if they don't want to be put through it. All right, how do we end it?
Oh, it's over? Oh, you're calling it.
I'm calling it.
Damn. I feel like I was just getting warmed up.
Say something.
Now that we talked about cutting half the podcast out. In that meeting we had in the car the other day.
Well, get it going. I mean, we've been going how long?
50 minutes.
Hour 22.
What?
Hour 22. That's too long.
This is going to be the Bad Boys of Symphonies podcast.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Who's that guy that punched you in the face, DB?
Scott.
Scott what?
Scott K.
What is it?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to put people on blast.
A guy punch you in the face for no reason?
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not trying to put... I don't want him to come find me again.
Right.
How about that?
Scott...
I'm doing it for my safety.
Scotty doesn't know that you're still pissed, dude.
Right.
I'm not pissed.
You don't think all your adult issues are...
I think most of my adult issues are from you.
I can see that.
I can see that. And that's why I'm not watching Alien.
That's fucked up. That causes issues.
Danny DeVito is Penguin.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched the Flash movie.
Oh, good.
Wish I could go back in time and
not
like
watch
the Flash it. And not watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard it was super, super, super good. I heard it was almost as good as Alien.
Almost.
That's what the review said. But his amends was that he was telling our friends that when he worked for me that I was an asshole. And I was like, yeah, of course. I'm your fucking boss and I'm a lazy piece of shit. Like,
who?
The kid who tried to make amends to me and I refused to listen.
Who called him Danny DeVito and as the penguin.
He didn't even make amends for that.
Right.
Some would say that's a compliment.
Oh, and I want him to make amends for the one time I forget who gave us a ride, but then as we're getting out, the person was like, oh, like make sure to take like your trash with you. And then that kid was like, I like to take out more trash than I bring into a car. And the way he said it, I was like, I'm going to fucking rock you.
What if someone said you were Danny DeVito from Always Sunny?
That'd be chill.
Compliment?
Or a taxi. Collision. You guys seen this? Jamie Foxx, Tom Cruise?
It's called Collateral.
Collateral.
Wait, I wanted Max to figure it out.
Oh, it's Collision.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen
My
it.
My bad.
I saw it somewhat recently.
You did? Me too.
How have you seen everything somewhat recently?
Like, I don't know.
Because he's always watching TV.
Primal? I got to start that.
Yeah.
Dude, you would love
Primal. Yeah, Collateral. You liked it?
Yeah, it was decent. Like, the ending, like, kind of didn't make sense. Not the ending didn't make sense, but, like, I'm obviously looking too much into it. But he just, Jamie Foxx, to save the day, broke so many laws, including like kidnapping police officers, and then it's just like a happy ending. But it's like, what about all those crimes and kidnapped police officers? Like, he's gonna have to deal with that, you know?
Right?
But the good thing is, the girl he rescued is like a huge lawyer, so right. It kind of like explains
who plays her in the movie.
I don't know her, she's in stuff, but I have no idea what her name is.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Beautiful chocolate princess, but I don't know her name.
Tom Cruise was very good in it. I'm not a big TC guy.
He's great.
I feel like he's too much of a celebrity that he can't absorb into a role. You know,
thought,
like,
you love Mission Impossible.
I like the first one a lot, and then we watched.
Apparently
those,
they only get better.
We watched that one because I like, they're just great action movies, and I was in the mood for an action movie, and I just wanted to see what was going on with the genre. And
where did we watch that?
At your apartment on Dwight.
On Dwight? No. Which was the Dwight apartment? Wasn't
that
the last
apartment? Oh, no. Yeah, the one by off of Whaley, right? That was
Dwight
Street. Dwight.
Yeah. Your last apartment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a chill place.
All right, take us out.
Yo, I'm taking you out now. I brought you in. Now I'm bringing you out now.
That was sick. I can lay a beat down for that.
I was hoping you would, but you were making a face like, oh, he's blowing up the levels. Dude, don't worry about my levels.
He's making sure. That's his job.
DB fucking sound police over here.
The sound
conservative
police.
Sound police.
Trying to communicate with
fucking
God.
Woman
with
never
aliens.
Trying to go to war. DB's like a woman in that he's never trying to go to war. Is that true or false?
True.
Big true.
Big if true.
Big up. All right, that's it. Oh my God, thank you so much for listening
to
our podcast.
I have two suggestions.
So much to us. Oh my God, please give us a standing ovation.
I have.
Oh my God, please.
This
thank
podcast
you.
Is like a symphony, it has movements.
Very good. You got an ad for us?
No, but
what?
I have two
you
possible Halloween costumes for you and Max. A, go as Blunt Man and Chronic.
Racist.
Good one.
Or B, if Max goes as Jabba the Hutt, you should dress as Slave Leia.
Anti-Semitic.
They're good.
Wait,
you
so
crushed it.
Big pasta dinner tonight?
Yeah. We'll talk about it off pod.
Ah, that means no. No, then I'm not
no,
hanging
definitely, up. No, definitely we're doing big
see
pasta
how he,
dinner
like,
tonight.
We'll talk about it off.
We'll get the details straight
after
we, but like 100%. we're doing.
No,
it.
He winked.
No,
I didn't see any wink.
No,
well, I did, and that's what counts.
I didn't. No.
You two are in cahoots.
He was looking right at me. No, we're gonna do big pasta dinner tonight. Oh my god, it's gonna be so big.
And bread?
I'm not hanging up until we lock this in.
Hanging.
I've just watched so many seasons of American Horror Story. They weren't as good as I remembered.
This is a comedy podcast. We're definitely doing big pasta dinner tonight.
What does that mean?
Oh, real quick before we go.
Between comedy and lying.
This is a joke.
I watched this new episode of Kill Tony just because Ric Flair.
You're obsessed with that guy.
Well, I'm not, but because Ric Flair was on it, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Ric Flair had no idea what the format of the show is, which is, you know, a stand-up comes out, does like a minute of stand-up, and then the panel just makes fun of him.
Right.
And Ric Flair was so hammered that he started getting so offended at the format of the show that he walked off in the middle of it.
He's a psycho.
It was like... It was really cringe to watch. Like
Hinchcliffe, that's his last name.
Thank you. Very good. Like Ric Flair, like every time they would start ripping into a comedian, Ric Flair would pick up the microphone and say, "Look, this guy's doing a good job, okay? He's like, he's really trying, and I don't really appreciate you guys." And remember, he's
that
like,
would be you.
He's like 14 drinks deep. You know, he'd be like, you know, "I don't appreciate this guy's giving his time, and everyone's making fun of him." And like all the comedians just start roasting Ric Flair. And like Tony was like, "I probably should have shown you an episode of this before you came on."
Right.
And Ric Flair was, just look it up and watch it. It's rough to watch. Very, very clashing of worlds.
Mm.
This is what it's like when worlds collide, if you will. And I do. And I do very much. All right. Next week, we'll be back with the Dub Scientist.
We got him.
And others.
We got him, people.
And guess what? His mic's going to be really peaking.
All right. I heard that.
All right. DB, why don't you sing us out?
An
Irish jingle.
I don't know any.
Like a song you would sing in an Irish pub.
I got nothing.
Oh, there once was a man from... Like something like that.
I think you got it down.
Come on.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
You're the proud Irish guy.
Scottish.
He's Scottish.
Same thing.
Well, yeah.
Whoa.
I'm tired of pretending that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Okay.
But...
Couldn't be more different.
No, it's pretty similar. Almost the same. What's the difference?
What's the difference?
And you guys are from Palestine, right?
Well, like, enlighten me. Explain to me what the difference is.
They're just two different cultures. They have two different histories, and they do two totally different things. They're
different
people. They're from different places. They're from...
Different accents.
Different accents.
Different hair colors.
Maybe.
Oh.
I thought they're both drunk potato-eating SOBs.
For the most part. Take us out with a jingle.
With a jingle. A Scottish jingle.
I don't have any.
All right.
I got a Scottish jiggle right here, though, if you know what I mean.
I don't.
I'll show it to you later.
Can we do a quick hog hour before we go? Real quick. Dominic Mysterio fought that whatever guy from NXT who's wearing a Speedo costume.
Yeah.
And at one point, he goes to dive over the top rope to slam Dom, who's on the outside, and you fully see his hog head get caught on the rope and, like, drag back. And, like I didn't notice it the first time, but then it was a sick move, so they did a slow-mo, and you really see his hog get caught on the rope.
Is that why he's called Drag in the Lee? Hey, how about when Rhea's butt cheek is so thick? I don't know if you guys remember this. The rope went between her butt, and her butt cheek just like slowly flopped off.
Sir, we're doing hog hour.
Christ.
Sir.
Remember I asked you guys to pause it and rewind it when we watched it?
I don't remember.
I used to remember when hog hour used to mean something. Now
can we go to butt cheek hour?
I mean,
yeah, we could once we're done with hog hour. But unfortunately, right, we're done with time for this episode.
But next time.
Okay.
We do have enough time for a 15-minute jingle, though. Oh.
Oh, I got an Irish jingle.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly. Scottish parts.
No.
DB smells like...
Darts.
We'll see you next week, folks. Good night. Satan, 666, like death to all.